Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 177, recorded on April 26, 2018. On tonight's episode, we discuss Labo and the fallout from all that cardboard, Nintendo's earning reports, which are good, they're really good, and so much more. Zach, Justin, Jesse, whoever, why don't you cue the music?
Good morning, good day. Welcome everyone to the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Justin Masson, and you are tuned into the right podcast if you want to speak about all things Nintendo and parenting related. With me today are two of the coolest guys on the internet, or at least their stand-ins for today. First and foremost, let's head over to a man who is fresh off of his watching of Infinity War. Please no spoilers. Mr. Jesse Waldeck, King of VG Tribune. How are you today, sir?
Good. Is that opposed to the left one? First, you said the right one? I don't know.
Whatever. Don't listen. It's 5 a.m. Don't get witty with me. All right now. Now, no spoilers, obviously. I just want to say, how did you like it?
Very good. Not 100% sure if it's Black Panther good, but it's up there.
Okay. If you were to give it like a rating out of 10, what would you give it? Out of 5 Infinity Stones, what would you give it?
Somewhere either 4.5 or 5. I'm not one who notices movie flaws as like other people, but sure. I nothing bothered me with the movie. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah, good. I was amused. I was amused, and my son was amused, and he doesn't get a lot of jokes, you know. Okay. Fast, so he was sure. Picking up on jokes.
That's awesome. Cool. Okay, I'm super excited. I haven't got my tickets. I'm planning on going on Sunday. So I am trying to avoid spoilers and the internet and as much as I can. So, yeah.
There is a post-credit scene. Don't miss it. It's important.
And there's only one of them, correct?
There is only one, which actually surprised me. Guardians 2, where there were 5?
What's the position of that credit scene, by the way?
End of scroll. The very last thing you see.
Oh my gosh.
Like, get an extra thing of popcorn because you're going to have to sit through everyone's, like,
Bob Smith, grip handle. Bob Smith,
That really drives me nuts.
The assistant to Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know what? I mean, it is one of those ways that you actually get to sit through and take appreciation of all the people that work on the movies to make things happen. You know, I can appreciate that. They're the unsung heroes. So, yeah. Speaking of a man who's going to be sitting in somewhere different today, Mr. Marty Estes, who appears to have fallen into maybe his grandmother's office.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, but how are you today, sir? I'm seeing the Legos and stuff.
I am fantastic. I can't see Infinity War until Saturday afternoon. So I has a sads.
Yeah.
It's going to kill me to wait. Like, seriously. And really the only reason I'm waiting, I could go tomorrow, but I'm cheap and I don't want to spend money to go see it in the subpar dirty theaters of Jackson, Tennessee, which are close to me.
Yeah.
I want to go see it in my hometown theater where I can pay $5 per ticket.
And have the full movie-going experience, eh?
Yeah. And I like a place where I can afford to take my family, see a movie, and get popcorn and a drink, right?
Not breaking the bank.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. Good.
And as for my grandma's office here, it's the office next to mine.
Wow. That is a stark difference.
Yeah, my computer is not behaving tonight, so.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's all right.
So my movie tickets were free. But concessions for 5 people cost me almost $50.
Oh wow. That's mad. So here in Ireland, one of the things that has shocked me the most is that, like, in North America, you are not allowed to bring in your own food, right? Like, that is really, really frowned upon, right? Like, it's kind of, but I mean, they, you know, occasionally people might.
They can kick you out for that.
Yeah, exactly. So in Ireland, the rule is pretty loose about that. So we went to a movie not too long ago, me and the wife and the kids, and we brought some of the girl of the girl's friends. So it was kind of an afternoon date. And this family in front of us literally like opened up a knapsack and started handing out food that wasn't even like trying to be like the same brand of crisps or jellies, like just completely knockoff. And there was like no qualms about it. And then like there's this nice little sign in the corner of the theater that says, please only eat stuff you bring, or please only eat stuff bought here. But like, I guess everyone does it. Like, it's not even like, and I was talking to other friends. I was like, you really like this seems mad. And they're like, no, like everyone, they're like, we do it. And like, these are people who are like pretty straight laced law abiding people. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's just the way the land works here in good old Ireland. So,
you know what I noticed, Justin?
Yeah.
I'm seeing Jesse a little more clearly this week.
Do you know why that might be?
Why is that?
That's a fresh, crisp new webcam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah,
like I can actually see the Amiibo up on the shelf and kind of tell what a few of them are.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... we got a comment from last week's episode when I used my laptop camera in a hangout saying, wow, we can see you.
There you go.
So I'm nice. Like, oh, I didn't realize my camera was that crap. My son said, I told you, because he told me, because he had the same 720p camera on his computer and he was complaining about it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, touche. So I bought him the same camera and his friends noticed it right away.
There you go. Nice.
They're like, are you on your phone? Nope, you're on your camera.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, modern technology. Well, guys, let's jump into this. Now, before we jump in, I do want to just kind of address a little bit of the elephant in the room. We had mentioned last week that Ash Paulson would be joining us. Unfortunately, we got a message from him middle of this last week that he had some conflicting meeting, an appointment that he was unable to kind of dismiss, and it was for Game Explained, so we totally understand that. He will be joining us tentatively, though, on May 10th. So still, that'll be great. Now, I've actually challenged him now that he's going to be joining us closer to E3 for him to bring along some of his Nintendo E3 predictions. So that should be a great episode as well. So if you're here to see Ash, we apologize. I know he felt very bad about it, and he will definitely be joining us soon. But he's a busy man, so you got to respect that as well.
Master in the chat real quick says that Marty's got a green screen background. Quick, someone add an Infinity War image behind him.
Yeah, right. Not too far off. Not far off at all. All right. So with that being said, Marty, why don't we jump into the news? Because here we have got a ton of it. Of course, the news is brought to us by some people, right?
Yeah, it's brought to us by our patrons and the good folks over at patreon.com who make the cogs of the Nintendo Dad's machine. They are the infinity stones to our infinity gauntlet.
Wow.
I see what you did.
Wow.
We could not power up the infinity gauntlet, thus creating world-shiftingly universe-destroying powers that we do possess here at the Nintendo Dad's headquarters without them.
I don't even know what to say. Like, that was really well done. Like, I feel like just saying, good night, everyone, we're done. Fantastic. Okay. We're not even going to cover the news.
Why the music?
Like, I don't know what to say. All right, cool.
Just pulled that. Look, it was just hanging right there, and
you just popped it out. All right, excellent. So yeah, thank you, of course, to all of our amazing Patreon supporters. We are so thankful for everything that you are doing for us every single week. We've got some content coming up on Patreon very soon as well. Mr. Zach will be doing his Ask Me Anything video. We've, of course, got lots and lots of content as well. All right, so Marty, it has been a huge week, really, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Mainly a lot of information dropping over the last 24 hours. And of course, you know, for those of you that, you know, previous episode of Nintendo Dads, Labo had not yet dropped. Labo has now dropped. We've seen the internet go wild. But Marty, why don't you run us through our news and let's start breaking this stuff down, shall we?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Labo here at the beginning.
Still don't have it yet here in Europe. Yeah. What up with that, Europe? What up with that?
You're actually at the time of hearing this podcast, as people are downloading it, you will be getting Labo, correct?
Maybe. It's supposed to either be mailed on the Friday or delivered on the Friday. I'm hoping delivered. My kids are going to start losing, I think.
Oh. So here in the States, Labo dropped last week. And as actually the North American region, Labo dropped, except for Mexico, which I found out tonight on Twitter. people are having to import from Amazon and other places because Nintendo did not launch it in Mexico.
Interesting.
For some reason, or stores didn't carry it. I'm not entirely sure how that happened. Maybe somebody that is listening can that's in that region can clue us in. But Labo dropped. Of course, there are a ton of videos up already, especially ones featuring the piano, which I think it was to be expected. People are creating crazy stuff with this already. In fact, even Jose Otero, former host of MVC, has been tweeting a lot of these, you know, do-it-yourself Toy-Con Garage creations, everything from throwing a card in a hat, and the IR sensor senses it's in there, and a candy drops out of a cardboard box, complete with fanfare, to I saw earlier today, a Labo treasure chest that when you open it, plays the sound of opening a treasure chest in Ocarina of Time, complete with the item, you know, the item sound that when you get the item.
Can we cue that music in here somewhere in post-production, Mr. Waldack?
I think so.
Sure.
That's you know, he's easier sometimes than working with Jazz Zach. I'm not
going to
lie.
But here's a few things that I think are worth pointing out, okay? So far, Labo reception. Let's talk about this a little bit. Mixed reception from adults so far, right? But
especially
we
if you're the reviewer
coming.
From CNET.
Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started. CNET. You know, here's the thing. I don't go to CNET for any Nintendo news, much less any news. Period. And yeah, I will throw them under the bus. My gosh, guys, that like every article about Nintendo they publish is overwhelmingly negative, like to the right. point of I'm trying too hard. Yeah. And so if you wonder what we're talking about, there was a CNET article posted earlier this week where a reviewer brought home Labo and painted it in this mindset of I had this dream about what it would be like with my kids, even though they're too young for the sets.
Yeah, you know, so like here's the thing, and I have been watching this from afar, and it has been frustrating me because I've seen all of you guys having a ton of fun with it, right? And so right. again, just as a reference point, Europe gets theirs an entire week later. So I've been seeing all the videos you guys have been putting up, seeing the screenshots, seeing the videos. I'm like, oh my God, my kids are going to love this. My kids are like, when is it going to get here? They're hoping to be here a couple days earlier. And then I start like seeing these reviews of like, let me say this. If I see another 30 to 35 year old male video game, Nintendo hardcore video game reviewer be like, yo dudes, Labo is not for me. It's junk. I can't believe Nintendo's doing this. Where's my Smash Brothers? Where's my RPG? Shut up. Because this, I am tired of you. You need to go sit in the corner with some alone time and realize that this is not for you, and that is okay, and that something can exist that is not for you, and that's absolutely fine. I don't get it. This is no fun. This is stupid. Because it's not aimed at you. Now, if there are people who are X age who are loving it, that's cool too.
Yeah.
But Nintendo is clear. Our target audience here is kids and parents doing this thing together. If your kids are not in that range, Gary Gray's a great example. He said like, and Gary's like, I think it'd be awesome. My kid is not old enough to be able mm-hmm. to do it with me in a way that's meaningful. Then guess what? It's probably not for you. Again, if you are a, you know, 20, 25, 30, whatever, how old you are, and you are enjoying that, that's brilliant. You're kind of probably the outlier for what Nintendo wants. But you have to realize this is parents, this is children. And I swear I'm going to have a like I am so tired of seeing the Nintendo's wasting their time. It's a big stupid idea. This is trash. It's, you know, this is gonna just because Labo exists does not mean something else does not.
Oh yeah, that is such a good point. And let me drop a little Labo knowledge on you here as the one person on the podcast who's actually put one of these things together. I have done 3 of the 5 Labo projects. We completed our 4th one today, which was done by my daughter and my wife. Okay. And so here's the good parts about this. Extremely easy to pick up. All right. It is very clear when you open the box and you boot up the software exactly what to do. If you're not clear on it, you press the back button and you press the forward button and the back button and the forward button and the back button and rewind it and watch it again and again and again, right? It takes you through everything. You can even twist and turn the model on the screen to see it from different angles, and it will even animate from that angle. It's extremely well-made software. It's literally like a I heard somebody describe it as a virtual IKEA come to life.
I bet you. I wonder if something like IKEA is actually starting to look at that and be like, how can we put that on an app?
Yeah.
I just put together a computer desk with my wife a few weeks ago, and a lot of the steps were confusing because we didn't know what the backside was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So I can see how this
and they make it very handy. Clear. Like when you get your Labo, like when you get the stuff, it's printed only on one side, and they make sure to tell you in the steps, flip it over onto the non-printed side, you know, and position it this way and begin to fold. So that's really cool. And like along the way, it even has like some tongue in cheek little jokes along the way, you know, like be sure this happens or you don't want this to happen. And so far, through four projects, we have not made any mistakes. We may have had to go back and like adjust a piece here or there, but nothing that we went, oh man, we broke it. We can't use this again. Mm-hmm. The downside of this that I've found, and maybe I'm just a perfectionist when it comes to this or something like this, but this is definitely like I could not see going to Walmart or Target or wherever and buying this and handing it off to my kids and saying, all right, go play with this, have fun, right? It takes adult supervision. And I know that they've been pushing this and like making that clear, like this is something for parents to do with their kids. But then I also saw some commercial, like a commercial or two where Nintendo like shows just kids doing it. And I'm like, no, because like the first one we did was the RC car, which as somebody said, was like the tutorial to it. Right. So it's like maybe four or five folds. You're done. You can play with it. It's a big time. We did the house. After that, and that was way more involved. It took us like an hour and a half to do the house. Then we did the fishing rod, and I was not prepared for the fishing rod. Okay. Really? The fishing, like the thickness of the cardboard between the house and the fishing rod changes.
Mm.
And there are some really tough folds there. In fact, like it'll just show you like during the animation, like it'll show you folding them and folding them back or folding it and leaving it standing up. In the fishing rod, you begin to notice folds where it says, be sure to press firmly, you know, and it shows like this little flash going across the fold. But nowhere in that did I ever get a point and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw this in the trash.
Right.
This like. And my wife, who has never built a Lego set really, or who like to my knowledge, you know, like when we build furniture, she'll help and I'll be like, hold this while I, you know, and I'm not saying she's stupid by any chance of any stretch of the imagination, but like even she enjoyed the piano build mm-hmm. and the piano build took her and my daughter like 2 days of work.
Yeah.
You know, like they started it and then they had to stop it for church last night, and then she came back and it was too late to start again, and then they went to something and came back this afternoon. She's like, do you want to finish the piano? Oh yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. But here's what I've noticed since finishing these, and this is I haven't done the motorbike at all, and we haven't done any of the extras like Labo Man or, you know, whatever the other RC car. For me as a parent, the enjoyment is in the building. It's in mm-hmm. watching my kids do it. It's in watching them get it.
Mm-hmm.
The other fun for me as a parent is watching them play with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Guys, the other night when it was Saturday night, cause I ordered this from Amazon and I did not receive my Labo kits until 9:15 PM on the day of launch, which frustrates the ever-loving crap out of me. I was so mad. And I knew it was not the UPS guy's fault. Like, I knew they'd overloaded him. Yeah. But it was really hard not to be mad when he rolled up in my driveway at 9:15 at night. My kids were already in bed. They had already been like, where's Labo? You know.
He probably had a lot of Labo kits in that truck.
I don't know. I don't know what he had. But he looked thoroughly exhausted. He looked like he had been through heck that day. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to give you a hard time. But I had a wedding on Saturday morning. Finally, we got around to filming some videos and doing some stuff. And like right after we filmed the videos on Saturday afternoon, my daughter and son spent on and off the entire evening playing with the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was, you know, that was such a fantastic thing. Like, cause we were watching your, you know, again, guys, if you want, head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. We put out 3 or 4 Labo videos last week. We've got more coming up, but Marty, you working with both your kids to create these and needed some time lapse, which is fantastic. And then just, you did some videos on, I think, the Twitter account as well. The kids just playing together, like just like that. Like, again, you want to talk about who that audience is? That's your audience.
And that's your,
it's the, like, that is the thing that I am most excited to do, is to be able to get the kids and say, usher girls, let's sit down and let's do this together. Like, that's the thing that I'm so excited to do.
Yeah. And honestly, like going into these first two, which we have not even opened the robot kit yet.
Yeah.
Because I've heard like 5 hours.
I think I've got a robot kit coming to me too.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, I'm so excited about it, but like, we're going on vacation in a week.
Yep.
And so I don't know if I'm going to wait until after to do it, because I don't know that I have a 5 hour block of time set down for it, you know, but
you probably don't want to do it in one setting anyway.
No,
and I don't want to do it and then be like, all right, guys, sorry, we got to pack up and leave to go to the beach. You know, you can't play with the robot for 6 days.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to try to take it with me.
No.
But like, I really was like cautious with these first two sets because I thought, well, I'll try these, and if it's not fun or if it doesn't have a, you know, a lasting, you know, pull in my house, then I probably won't get any more of them. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But after getting my hands on these first two, I don't care what reviews IGN is giving it. I know they like, I think their review is like a 6.9. Mm-hmm. I don't care what CNET's saying. I know what my kids did. I know what, I know that, Monday I came home and there was a note at the end of my table from my son that said, "Dear Daddy, thank you for buying Labo and building it with me." Like, I'm sold.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to talk about parenting gold.
Yeah. Line me up for whatever freaking Toy-Con kits you want to sell in the future.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And somebody had asked us on Twitter earlier about an arcade station, you know, like would we be in for an arcade station if like Nintendo made one for, you know, Nintendo arcade games and things like that? Make me a Labo station.
You know,
make me a Labo arcade station.
You know, and what? Before Labo came out, there was a knockoff one made in Japan of an arcade station.
Out of cardboard?
Yeah, out of cardboard. And they did like all the same branding pictures and everything. Like it was I'll see if I can find it and put it in the chat, but
I still have my iCade somewhere behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is that like, I'm probably not going to play these games.
No, probably.
I will probably play the robot one. Like I'll be honest, I will give it a whirl a couple of times. But from mostly what I hear from adults who play it and review it, they're like, yeah, it only held my attention for a little bit. That's because you're not a 10-year-old kid.
Yep.
You know, my daughter sat there and figured out that you could put, like, there's not been a lot of press on the house. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like it was kind of undersold. But you make these keys, for lack of a better word, they're blocks that go in different windows in the house. There's a window on the bottom. There's a window on both sides. You put these keys in there, and they do different things. One of them is a crank that clicks. One of them is like a button that presses, and the other is an actual key, like it turns and it snaps back. Yeah. And depending on which place you put them in, a different scene pops up for you to interact with this creature who lives inside the house.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah. But what you do is that you make it, you carry it through different things. Like you can bowl with it, or you can fill its house with water, or you can blow dry it, or you can do all these different things. And when you do them, you get food. And then you eventually figure out that you can take the food and you can put it in a microwave and cook it. And then you can feed it to the creature and it changes color or unlocks something different. You know, and so the other night my daughter was on a mission. She's like, I'm gonna find every color candy.
Nice, nice.
You know, and she did not let up until she did, and she has loved it.
Yeah.
I will say that the fishing rod was a little counterintuitive.
Mm.
The way, okay. Like when you put it in, like, you know, we've seen pictures of it, you know, it's attached to the box, you know, that they call the ocean. Okay. So you're going to build the ocean and then you're going to put your switch in it. And when you do that, like, it gives you no instructions.
Mm.
I was really disappointed in that.
Right.
I was like, did you hit something? Did you fast forward through the instructions? No. You know, it was kind of counterintuitive, but I will tell you, like, I saw somebody's review and I know we need to move on and we need to talk about a couple of news points and move on. But like somebody I had seen on like the Labo site said, there's magic in this cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And like after putting together these sets, I totally flip and agree with them.
Yeah.
Like the first minute that something happens and you're sitting there with your kid and you watch their eyes light up or you watch their jaw drop because you made a switch that clicks, like it's cardboard that makes a clicking sound or does mm-hmm. something like that. That's when you see how genius this is.
Marty, you're killing me here, man. You're killing me. Like you're getting me more hyped for this thing.
No, like I want people to do this. Like I want these grumpy naysayers who have kids who are like, I'm not doing that. I want them to go experience this with their kids. For my daughter who doesn't play video games and will not play video games with me, for me and her to sit down and have that moment where she was playing a video game and she was interacting with it and loving it and wanting to show me things she was doing. And it wasn't something I had already done so that I went, oh, yeah, that's nice, you know. But it was legitimate discoveries, which I'm like, oh, that's really cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge.
I see, you know, going back for that wasn't for me. I see Chris White in our chat. And, hey, by the way, awesome to see so many people in our chat today viewing us live. Thank you. We got the best people in the audience here, the best best fans. Chris White says, I got the variety pack so I can do it with my kids, but I understand it's not for me. Chris then says, see, I stopped sleeping in a crib several years ago. You know why? Because it wasn't made for me. Right. So again, I think it's a great call out of what's made for you and what's not made for you.
Can I tell you something funny about Labo too?
Mm-hmm.
Sales figures that were released today or yesterday showed that in Japan, the Labo variety kit outsold God of War.
So I know. And that's a funny thing. So let's think about this. Sony drops probably arguably their biggest IP, right? Or one of their biggest IPs.
Can I interject here and say that I played this while I was waiting for Labo to come? And Nintendo moment, holy crap, this game is awesome.
Yeah.
Like I've played every God of War game except the PSP games, and totally changes the formula. The first hour of it, I hated.
Yeah,
and I know that that's blasphemous to a lot of people because they were like, the first hour is the best. But like getting used to it after the old God of War, it is fundamentally the same game at the core, but it's also fundamentally different.
Right. Nice.
But it made the wait for Labo better. But like, and it's like I heard somebody say this too, or saw somebody say this game of the year already.
Nice.
Like, it's because of the writing. Yeah. It really is a story, but I keep going with what you're going because why I said that.
Yeah. The thing I enjoy hearing was like on, you know,
oh,
his point was so good that it kicked him off the internet. Justin,
Microsoft didn't want to hear this. So,
no, they heard God of War on a Skype platform, and it was like, shut it down.
Right. Welcome back.
I think what he was about to say, is he here?
Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah, you were about to make your point, and then it was just like.
Yeah. They launched God of War. Nintendo says here, hold my beer. Here's a bunch of cardboard.
Here's a box with some cardboard sheets, kids. Go knock yourselves out.
And like, I don't know.
And it outsells God of War. Yeah. That's not in America. Not in America.
No.
I mean, let's be clear. This is Japan.
Yeah.
But
like the biggest IP, and your competitor responds with a box of cardboard aimed at children.
Let's call this what it is. Sony, for a long time during the Wii U, you know, post Wii U years, ruled Japan.
Yep.
And so this is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah. This is huge.
And I'm not just saying that as like a Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. You know what else is a big deal, Justin? As a segue, is Nintendo's earning reports are a really, really big deal. And also a really big deal, some huge shakeups in Nintendo's leadership.
Yeah, let's break that down.
Yeah, so just a couple of real quick things. Let's lead off with this. Tatsumi Kimishima is no longer the president of Nintendo Ltd. He has stepped down in what was probably an inevitable outcome, right? I mean, not because of his performance in any way, but if you'll go back and you'll remember when Kimishima replaced Iwata after Iwata passed, it was only a temporary position
right.
at the time. And he even said that himself. I'm only here for a short time. He has been replaced. He has been replaced by Shuntaro Furukawa, who sounds like a somebody in our Discord chat earlier this year. Shuntaro sounds like a Mortal Kombat character who's going to rip off your arms and beat you with them. But Shuntaro, the interesting thing here, Shuntaro Furukawa comes to Nintendo from the Pokemon company.
Yes, he's on the Pokemon board over there.
Yes,
interestingly enough, and the other interesting part is he is only 46 years old.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, lists himself or self describes himself as a gamer from the Famicom era.
Ooh.
And the quote that he made was, Nintendo, basically this is what he said, Nintendo's doing really well, but we will do the things that we need to do and say the things that need to be said in order for us to be better. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
That's very interesting, considering they're kind of on a hot streak right now.
I heard a lot of some criticisms about having a guy who wasn't formally in development, but frankly, that Iwata was a special case, and that's that normally doesn't happen.
Yes.
So I would expect someone who knows business to lead a business, not someone who was a developer growing up. But I am more surprised that they picked someone as young. You know, he's only 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
what have you been doing with your life?
Sitting here,
Justin.
You could have been a president of a Nintendo company, but I don't know what you're doing.
So, guys, that was not the only shakeup across the pond there, Justin.
Yeah.
You're seeing a transition in Nintendo of Europe as well as Satoru Shibata steps down
right.
as president.
Yeah.
And he's actually going to go back to NCL and be on its board of directors.
Yeah. And I don't think they've announced who the NOE president's now going to
be. They have not.
Yeah.
They have not.
So I'm excited to announce.
I was going to say, you still have time to submit your application.
Exactly. That it's not going to be me.
Yeah. So, and here's the crazy thing. All of this shakeup news as far as personnel. And by the way, let's say this too. Koizumi mm-hmm. and the other guy, and his name escapes me right now, and I'm sorry, who are kind of like the responsible for the Switch, also received
promotions.
Some pretty significant promotions within Nintendo as well, which are well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as all of this news came out in the midst of the financial breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. NPD lists the Neon Joy-Con Switch SKU as the best-selling hardware of March 2018 in North America. Keep in mind, this was during a month when Nintendo did not drop a AAA first-party title.
Yeah, they did. Kirby.
Kirby. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought Kirby was April.
That's okay.
So Kirby,
no, April was just cardboard.
Yeah, April was just cardboard. We'll get back to Kirby here in just a minute, and there's a pretty significant reason why. But so here in North America, Neon Joy-Con Switch SKU was the best-selling hardware March 2018. Worldwide, the Nintendo Switch has now sold 17.79 million units.
That's mad.
In 12 months.
12 months, yeah. Yeah, because it is their fiscal, right?
In 12 months. For those keeping score, this outpaces the PlayStation 3 or the PlayStation 2. And there was a previous record that was set either by the PlayStation 2 or 3, maybe the 4. I don't know.
I think 2 was the faster seller, at least, because it has the most overall.
And so I think it was 14 million in 13 months. This is almost 18 million in 12 months. So that's good. Things are going well as far as hardware sales, but let's talk software sales as well for the Switch. Mario Odyssey, since October, has sold 10.4 million units, which is just nuts. Now, a lot of those may be pack-ins, you know, with that bundle. So you're counting systems in, but still, that's sales of games. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the game that nobody wants, quote, because it's just a port, 9.22 million.
Which did outsell the Wii U version of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If let's break that down. One in every two Switch owners would have Mario Kart 8.
That's correct. That is correct.
In my house, and 2 out of 3.
Yeah. There you go. In my house, it's 1 out of 2. Zelda, Breath of the Wild, 8.48 million. Splatoon 2, 6.02 million. And then there's a sharp kind of drop from there. Surprisingly, 1-2 Switch still on this list at 2.29 million. ARMS, 1.85 million. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, 1.31 million. And I told you we'd come back to Kirby. Kirby Star Allies in a little less than a month. 1.29 million copies sold.
That's fantastic, right? I don't know, where do we want to, we're not going to break down every single thing here, but is there anything that stands, Jesse, maybe is there anything here that stands out for you? I know you're a numbers guy. You like the MPDs. Is there anything here that stands out for you from either a wow or, hey, that makes sense, or that's impressive perspective?
One thing I saw that isn't listed in any of these notes is, you know, similar to Mario Kart, where the Switch outsold the Wii U version, the same has been said about Bayonetta 2. It sold like twice as much.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about like 400,000 units versus 200,000 units, but still it's outsold itself. Which is
amazing.
This
was a game that actually people were worried about selling. If you remember, it's like, oh, they're bringing out Bayonetta 2. Great. Right. And I don't know how well it'll do, but it's doubled its Wii U sales.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. Couple other numbers I want to throw out there, and then maybe we can kind of rake over some reactions to them. Super Nintendo Classic has sold 5.28 million worldwide. And they mentioned tonight during some further breakdown on this that the 3DS will continue past 2019. They are promising support for the 3DS beyond Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Which they didn't list any games, they didn't list any properties, but obviously here I am, here's my big plate of crow, I'll eat it, and, you know,
I don't want to be the one that says, I told you so, because I feel like me saying, I told you so, would be really rude to say, I told you so. So I won't say that I told you so about this. I just want to make sure that you know that I'm not the one saying, I told you so.
Well, I'm being told so by Morden in the chat. I misunderstood the stat about Bayonetta 2. I think he's saying the Wii U numbers are closer to 500,000 overall, but in the same time frame that the Switch has had, it is
okay.
It has outsold the Wii U version by 2 to 1.
Gotcha. Oh, in the same time frame.
In the same time frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is still pretty good.
And also interesting to note here, and this is the last kind of number stat we'll throw out here. A little bit of indie sales for you guys. Stardew Valley is now close to 1 million sales on the Switch. And Overcooked has sold over 500,000 copies
and
on Switch.
And is responsible for over 5,000 divorces.
Just got to look out for that Undercooked game.
Yeah. Yeah, Undercooked is a game about romaine lettuce, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
So guys, where does Nintendo go from here? I do know that they've said that they plan to ship and or sell through 20 million units by the end of the year.
When they first said that, I was thinking that's a stretch, but
no. Yeah, it's just 2 million more, so
yeah, now it seems like, you know, they're could be shooting for 30.
I mean, can we just say that that's smash?
I mean, it'll be interesting to come back here, you know, in 1 year from now and take a look at these numbers. But I mean, I do think, you know, Nintendo did a fantastic job setting up games that they know would be, you know, I mean, you launched the system with Breath of the Wild, right? Like, boom, what are you doing, right? You then throw in a game like Odyssey. And it makes me wonder, and I always go back to the idea of like, how do you, right, when you launch Zelda and Odyssey in the first year, what's the rest of your catalog look like, or how do you replenish that? Could we eventually see in a couple of years from now, like Odyssey 2 or some large DLC that helps to draw people back? I don't know, it probably doesn't have the same level of coverage as like a new game does, but I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how those numbers move in 2018. You're absolutely right. Smash is going to do it. Smash is going to be a huge system seller, right? But is that going to be enough for somebody who said, like, I have not pulled the trigger on Zelda, I have not pulled the trigger on Odyssey or Xenoblade, I'm not that kind of gamer, but Smash is the game that will make me put down $300 and go buy a Nintendo Switch right now. There's so much amazing content out already that I would think something would have already drawn you or pulled that trigger for you. Do you know what I mean?
I completely agree, but On the flip side of that coin, I know that there's absolutely people who are going to wait to buy a Switch until Smash, like, especially now that it's been announced and they've said 2018, right?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. It's interesting to see.
From the gamer's perspective, from a Nintendo dad's perspective, waiting seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that this is just like, all we've talked about are first party titles. We're not talking about all the other great stuff that's out there from third party and indie developers. So like the question for, you know, for Nintendo fans is why not? But there, for some reason, there's still a sect of, or a subset of people who are saying, prove it to me, you know, prove it to me. And I really think it's because Nintendo really has to wash the stink of the Wii U off.
Yeah,
and it's coming off. It is. It's happening.
Yeah,
but maybe just not as fast as some people would like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're constantly going, and it may have something to do with Nintendo's dissemination of information, like their strategy for how that happens. Because, you know, like on an Xbox or PS4, how long have we been seeing Spider-Man? Right.
Right.
How long have we been seeing God of War? And we know that it's coming, and we know to get hype for it. And
Final
we know
Fantasy
that that's
VII remake.
Yeah. We know that that's down the line. Now we don't know when, but then when they finally announce it, everybody goes bonkers.
Right.
And people are buying systems in advance for that. Whereas with Nintendo, it's like, hey, we're going to do Smash. Here's a 30-second trailer and we'll show you the rest of it at E3. And so people are kind of like, well, I'm going to wait. Mm-hmm. And see, I'm going to make sure that it's, you know, really going to happen. Whereas, you know, on these other systems, you see it progressing. You see and it's not a 30-second update. I mean, how many times have we seen them show? It's almost like they did Breath of the Wild, right? Yeah. Breath of the Wild, the way that they pushed it back and developed it and then changed it and developed it and did it was the most non-Nintendo way of previewing that game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was more akin to what we're used to from the other publishers,
yeah.
other and the other companies So there's still that group of people. I mean, I've run into some of those people. Yeah. Like I ran into those people on the Wii U. When's it going to get Smash?
Yeah.
Well, it'll get Smash when it's time, but you got to understand there's so much other good stuff. There's always so much other good stuff on a Nintendo platform you're missing. But I'm going to call this right now, and I'm going to say it. And again, I like being wrong, I guess, but I'm just going to say it. For Black Friday, you will see a Smash bundle for the Switch. It's going to happen. And it may be another one of those Walmart deals with special Joy-Con that drives people nuts. But there you go. You're gonna see some kind of Smash bundle this year to push those consoles at the end of the year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at the chat here and said thank you, Callow. I don't know why my brain was farting there for a second, but you're absolutely right. That next Pokemon is definitely gonna be a huge seller.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah.
You will have people who just buy it just for those consoles. And of course, you'll have here are the Joy-Con sets that are made. Here's the bundle made for it, right? And that's going to just move it like, easily breaking 20 million with it.
Callow saying that actually makes me think that maybe we see dueling bundles toward the end of the year. There's like a Smash bundle and there's a Pokemon bundle.
Yeah.
Because I'm of the mindset we're getting Pokemon this year. Like, yeah, I really think it's happening.
Yeah, and I would definitely think they're going to do some kind of customized Joy-Cons for those as well, and controllers. Like for anyone who thinks that like Nintendo is not going to do a special Smash controller or a special Joy-Con controller designs just for, like, we haven't seen any new Joy-Cons or Pro controller since Xenoblade. So they're going to do something. So I suspect we're going to see those launched in E3.
And since we're talking about special stuff, let me throw this in here and kind of derail, because this is not in the notes, but it just came up to my mind that I've seen tons of reports this week, guys, Target and Walmart removing their Amiibo sections. And now Toys R Us closing down, of course.
Remember you.
And they're replacing those. Target's made a really interesting, and I saw this at my own Target this week. They've made a really interesting use of that section. Of course, let's just call it what it is. It's all Toys to Life has been removed. There's no Skylanders. There's no Lego. There's no Amiibo. Amiibo were kind of the last holdouts. But now it's become like a pop culture video game memorabilia location where they sell like Pokemon cards and Mario wallets and Zelda socks and belt buckles and all kinds of other stuff. And Labo is tucked in there, right? Yeah. So is this it? Or are we going to – because I saw an article today that said even though Toys to Life is down, Amiibo sales continue to grow, but they're not putting out many Amiibo. What are the chances we see Smash Amiibo with this – 2018 Smash?
Well, you know what? I mean, I mean, the questions I've heard is could Nintendo do what we would call like a refresh line, right? Like, but I mean, we have to think like they put out, what is it, 45 Amiibos during that Smash, or was it 54? Like, whatever the number was, it's stupid.
Talk to Dave, it's Moore, over 50 all of them,
right? Would they reproduce those ones, or would they do variants or the special ones? Like, here's a new character. It's, you know, I don't know who's a new character, Labo Man, right? We're gonna use that as an example, right? Are they just
Inkling? Inkling's a new character. They would get a Smash Amiibo.
I don't really know where Nintendo stands with Amiibo right now. Right? What was the last Amiibo? Now, so I mean, the last new Amiibo they did was the Pikachu, right? But that was
And then you've got Marina and Pearl still right. to come.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, those are still.
You've got the Shovel Knight 3-pack.
That's right.
But nothing has been announced past that.
Yeah. So I don't know, and
don't forget the Monty Python Amiibo.
Oh yeah. That's
right too. Okay. So that actually, for the sake of journalistic integrity, Solaire of Astoria was the last Amiibo announced.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, that's interesting though. Right now, they're leaning more heavily not towards their own IPs, right? Not Shovel Knight, not Dark Souls, right? So out of the ones that have been released, and even the Pikachu one, I would argue is not Nintendo. That's the Pokemon company.
Right.
So, right. I mean, out of Nintendo doing their own, of four Amiibos, one out of four kind of launches, the Splatoon ones would be that, you know, I think Nintendo should be pulled the biggest aha gotcha moment when they announced the newest Animal Crossing. And they're like, and all those Amiibos that you bought for Animal Crossing, you can now use. right? That's that's what I think they should do. I don't know where Nintendo sits with Amiibo. I would be shocked if we get a couple. I mean, I think of last year when they did the Samus set for the 3DS, but it's, you know, could they do a Luigi's Mansion? Right. Oh, that'd be awesome.
I can see that kind of.
My thing is this, is I would much rather them move toward doing something like that that goes along with the game but is not necessary for the game or is not connected to the game. Case in point being the Metroid right there, right? Mm-hmm. Do those as a set of figurines, but not as Amiibo.
Yeah.
And do them less frequently. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe like do the Detective Pikachu, do the bigger games.
Yeah.
But don't make them necessary for the games, and people will still buy them. They'll still be, I mean, collectors will still want those.
Yeah.
But honestly, in my house, I can tell you the Amiibo is over.
Yeah.
It's done. My son was the only one who was really interested in those, and he used to get them out and play with them, and he would have like battles with them. He doesn't care. It's you know, they're in a like a three-tiered little storage thing that just sits there and collects dust,
right,
along with what's left of his Skylanders. So let's transition to talking about E3 a little bit, because Nintendo has kind of opened up on their E3 plans here.
They just did.
Yeah, like right before we went on air.
We shot them a quick DM and I said, hey guys, we're about to start our show. Could you drop some E3 news for us? Because it's a little bit quiet. And they're like, of course, Justin, for the Nintendo dads, we'll do anything. I was like, we love you.
Sure. Hugs. XOXO. Big X. Little X.
Yeah.
Big O. Little O. So I will be really shocked if they come out at E3 and so like, here's Smash. And here are Amiibo to go with it. I would think that maybe one Amiibo, like Detective Pikachu. Like, I would literally be okay if they said, here's a Master Hand Amiibo the size of Detective Pikachu, right? But I don't know if it's either that or nothing. Like, I don't really think we're going to see it, but the elephant in the room in that statement is that Nintendo's E3 plan is Smash. And we've all here on the show, along with other shows, been saying this for banging this drum for a few weeks, you know, that this is going to be the game. You're going to, you know, you had Odyssey with the big city set up. You had Breath of the Wild with the big Bokoblin set up, you know, and everything where you could pose with the Guardian and all that stuff. Nintendo's booth is going to be a ring this year. You know, it's going to be Smash. And they have pretty much come out and said that their presence at E3, which will not be a stage show, again, will be a video presentation, digital.
Told you so.
That Smash will be the game. And they also posted a schedule. Justin, do you have that schedule?
You know what? I can get that schedule real fast. Why don't you vamp and I'll grab that. How's that sound?
Yeah. And Nintendo has a habit of doing this, right? That, you know, right before we go on air. Actually, I have it. E3 begins on June 11th for Nintendo. The opening rounds of the Splatoon 2 World Championship go from 3:30 p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time on June 11th. Finals on June 12th. Then also on June 12th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, the first video presentation, it says, get a look at Nintendo Switch titles for 2018, including the recently announced Super Smash Bros. Game. Then followed up by 3 days of Nintendo Switch gameplay. And it's very, very pointed that it says this, okay? 3 days of Nintendo Switch gameplay with Nintendo Treehouse members starts with the recently announced Super Smash Bros. Game right after video presentation. So, in other words, you guys remember when they did E3 and it was like, here's Mario Odyssey and here's everything about it. And now we're going to play it right after this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going
to
happen.
After they talk about Pokemon for an hour and then they go back to it. That kind of pissed people off.
However, right after the conclusion of the Splatoon 2 World Championship Finals on June 12th, they will hold the Super Smash Bros. Invitational 2018, which appears to be on the brand new game, like we have been saying for a while. So they're going to cram everything into June 11th through the 14th, right? Or yeah. June 11th through the 15th. So they'll be pretty much broadcasting every day. Interesting enough to note that the 3DS is not mentioned at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it just says get a look at the Nintendo Switch titles for 2018.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. You know, like the big 3DS games that are coming, we kind of already know enough about them. Unless there are new games coming that haven't been announced yet, there really isn't much to say up until it gets closer to those specific games launching.
Yeah, I mean, and they may do what they may do is they may do a reminder like, hey, and on August 12th, you know, Luigi's Mansion drops for the 3DS. Moving on, right? Yeah, like it may. Yeah,
they'll do that stuff in like a mini direct later, like in August.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So what else is going on for? So I mean, those are. I mean, so E3 is coming up, right? We are about 6 weeks away from E3.
Right.
We are going to have more E3 coverage. We're going to have some shows with some guests coming in doing some predictions for us. We're going to do big coverage. We've got some friends who are going to be down on the ground. We've got Adam and John from Mega Dads is going to be there. Our friend Bobby Paul's a Nintendo Guru is going to be there. So we've got a lot of friends who are going to be there. We're trying to get some coverage from the floor. It's going to be an exciting time. E3 is, of course, a huge event for us as well. So we're going to have some live coverage. We're going to be doing our own schedule that you can follow us and watch for our live reactions to everything E3 related. We usually do about a podcast every single week or every single day that week. It should be some good news coming out of E3 as well. Marty, anything else from the E3 that we should talk about before we start moving on to these bigger stories?
Absolutely not. I mean, right now that is all that we know.
Cool.
Of course, you should always watch our Twitter accounts. Because when stuff breaks during the day, we almost always hit there first.
Yeah.
We have to fix it.
Okay. Enough out of you. All right.
Yeah.
Couple quick things I want
to. Like you had to think about that a little bit there, Marty.
No. Well, it's fine. 6 o'clock. Marty, should we break down? Let's quickly talk about Splatoon 2.
Yeah. So Splatoon 2 updated to version 3.0 this week. Version 3.0 adds the X mode for ranked battles. You can now level up to rank X if you're Eric Plunk. Also added in a brand new stage. I believe it was Camp Triggerfish. And this paves the way basically for the Octo expansion. There were a couple of new weapons, but also coming out of this is Nintendo's first ever multi-part Splatfest. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be worldwide. It's going to center, or at least for European and North American countries, is going to center around the new Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon in conjunction with
Nickelodeon. I showed my son the artwork to that, and he thought it was fan art. I'm like, no, that's the new show.
No, that's the real art.
And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah,
so Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is apparently a prequel to the turtles that we know and love, where Raph is the team leader. And so the very first Splatfest is going to be between Raph and Leo. The second Splat, and that's going to be the weekend of May 4th and May 5th. The next weekend, which will be the 11th and 12th, will be between Mikey and Donatello. And then a finals will be the next weekend between the winners of those two. All right. My question is this. Since this is a multi-part Splatfest, if I'm on Team Leo, which I'm going to be because Leo is always the leader of the Ninja Turtles.
Right. Come at him, bro.
Right. Raph is not the leader. Hashtag not my leader. And so, like, if I get the Leo shirt and I level it up in the first Splatfest, do I get it back in the second Splatfest?
Ooh.
If I'm a Leo king... In the first Splatfest, and he makes it through all the way. Am I a Leo King when it starts over? I think this is going to be interesting to see. And I think this kind of shows that Nintendo is open to doing more than just a single weekend thing with these Splatfests, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a totally new manner of doing this. And it's going to be disappointing if it resets, but it'll still be fun.
Yeah.
And like fan art, comments aside or anything, I mean, I think it's cool that they're tying in with something that kids are into and that, you know, like is going to get them some super exposure, right? Because Nickelodeon's going to push the crap out of that.
Yeah.
So
it makes me wonder how much that costs Nickelodeon to have Nintendo do this.
Well, you know, they did the same thing with the new Transformers Robots in Disguise show back with the first Splatoon.
Yeah. True.
They had Autobots and Decepticons.
So Hasbro set the precedent.
Yeah. So
Nickelodeon's following
like,
through.
It was, and you know, before we throw Nintendo of America or Europe under the bus for doing this, remember, Japan just had a Nike-sponsored Splatfest as well.
I have no problem with them doing sponsored stuff. You know, that's business. But it's just humorous, some of the stuff that comes out of it.
No, and I wasn't meaning you. I was just talking about anybody.
Right.
Before you throw Nintendo under the bus for this, it's all the way around, right? Yeah,
TMNT Amiibo confirmed.
Please God, no, not those designs. So Splatoon's going through some big changes. One of those big changes was not removing the slosher, which, come on guys, let's get rid of the paint bucket. It's terrible. It's garbage. I hate it. I hate if you use the slosher. Oh my gosh. I can't be friends. Just would be like, it would be like, you know, the drama guy on social media. If you use the slosher, just delete me.
Unfriend me.
Don't do that. Another big story here, and again, we want to move on and get into some of what we've been playing. Nintendo Switch Online service details are coming before E3.
Told you so.
Nintendo tweeted out tonight that they will be on the Nintendo website in early May. So...
Early May does not mean May 1st, people, so back off.
No, it doesn't mean... May 30th might not even be early May for Nintendo. Sometimes.
Just information thrown up on a website kind of surprises me. I kind of expected maybe a little mini direct giving a little bit more in-depth information about it.
And maybe there's a video on that website. You know what I'm saying? There's something that...
That's true. I didn't think of
that. I think there may be a video. What do you expect to see here? I don't expect to see much.
What haven't they answered for us? Everything. They've told us the cost. Well, no, but let's think about it. They've told us the cost.
Launch date.
Yeah, so launch date.
What is included in the service?
Is that not already included on their website currently for the online? Of this is what is allowed, what's not? Because you get discounts on the eShop. You get to play online with people.
Yeah, but firm that up a little bit. You know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Are we getting a new app? Are we getting integrated voice chats?
Yeah.
What is that going to be, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of details, actually. Now, and admittedly, Justin, a lot of them are small details.
Yeah.
But they need things that need to be filled in. So be looking for that in early May. Also, Nintendo today filed trademarks for Mario Tennis, which we knew was coming out, right? Mario Aces, but also renewed trademarks for Mario Party, Paper Mario, Dr. Mario, and Punch Out.
This kind of hints at possible virtual console-ish.
Well, maybe, or maybe we're getting new games at E3.
Also,
I don't know.
I can see that too.
Let speculation run wild. Right.
Well, I mean, if you even just go to the Nintendo Switch Online section, Dr. Mario is shown off in their classic game selection, Dr. Mario.
Well, there you go. So then this is going to be Punch Out from the NES and Dr. Mario from the NES, Paper Mario from the GameCube, and Mario Party, and it's going to be Mario Tennis Ultra Smash from the Wii U. Because everybody knows how good that game was.
That's as facetious as it might sound, Marty, it's probably not far off. I bet you it's all part of that filing.
It may be.
Yeah.
It may be. Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, by the way, the game that only Dave likes.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
I think he was the only person who advocated for that game.
I think so. Speaking of Mario Tennis and Mario Aces, I would suspect in the next couple of weeks we should be starting to get that Mario Aces demo that they're going to be providing to us before E3. So it should be coming, I think, in the next couple of weeks as well.
I'm excited about that. By the way, three characters for that leaked this week. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yeah.
Paratroopa and Birdo and Somebody in the chat's going to correct me any minute and help me with this. I can't remember who the other one was, but you know, I think those are the online characters, you know, that are unlocked via online tournament. So that's a pretty big leak.
Yeah. And then I guess to round out the news here items, we've got a couple of games that have got announcement dates and a couple of games that have got delayed. So let's do a quick roundup of those. Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, has been officially announced to launch on June 29th. So that's right after E3, just before we move into July. So again, June 29th. So that's very exciting. Runbow coming to the Nintendo Switch has been delayed by a couple of weeks. We don't have an official date. That was scheduled to come out at the end of May. We don't have a new date on that yet. No, and our good friend,
it was end of April. It was supposed to be like three days ago.
Okay. So it has been delayed. And then our good friends over at Zoink Games have announced that Flipping Death will be coming to all platforms, including, of course, the Nintendo Switch in August of 2018. So we're very excited to get our hands on that as well. So is there any other games I can think of that got? We obviously mentioned last week Darkseid.
Yeah. So Death Road to Canada got delayed. Yes. And our thoughts go out to our fans and family up in Canada. Of course, tragic act of terror this week as some idiot and used a van to kill a lot of people. And the developers of Death Road to Canada did not feel like it was appropriate to release this week. Super classy move on their part. And actually, guys, full disclosure, we already have this game as a review copy and have been playing it. But they just basically sent out an email and said, it's not coming out. It's not coming out this week. We just don't feel right about it. So it has been pushed back for what they said to an undetermined time. However, I noticed today on my Switch that it is listed for release on 5/15 now. So right. I don't know if that's just they said pick a date and put it there or you know, maybe they couldn't delist it from the eShop or whatever. I don't know how that works. But again, don't be mad at them, right? I mean, it was definitely a response to something that needed to be addressed. And so do go play the game when it comes out. Wait on it. It's worth waiting on. It's actually not, and here's the other thing too, delayed on all platforms, not just on the Switch.
Yeah, and we'll have more coverage, of course, when it does come out, and Marty will be able to provide an actual review. At this point, though, we want to respect their wishes and not break any kind of embargo as well, so we won't do that.
Right.
All right.
Sonic Mania Plus has a release date of July 17.
That's right. Yep.
And the DLC for the people who already own Sonic Mania is $4.99. Which makes this guy happy.
I haven't picked up Sonic Mania yet. Should I?
You should wait for the physical release.
Okay.
Because it has a reversible cover that makes it look like a Sega Genesis game.
I don't like Sega things.
Well, then you can.
I still haven't picked up Stardew Valley yet.
Is you can buy that physical copy and send me the case.
Oh, okay. That's how it's going to work. Gotcha.
Yeah, you can do that. I would really like that.
Okay, let me see what I can do for you then. Let's see what I can do over here in Europe and see what I can find. All right. So those are the games that are coming up and that have been delayed. And so let's move into maybe what we have been playing.
There's one more thing that I came across kind of by accident. I was looking to see if there was any new arcade archives announced or are coming. Mm-hmm. Next week, Arcade Archives 10-Yard Fight's coming, the game that no one asked for. And they didn't even announce this one with previous Arcade Archives, so this one just kind of came out of the blue. So, kind of an arcade-y football game.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Let's jump into what we've been playing, shall we?
Do it.
Okay, perfect. So let's, Jesse, let's head over to you, sir. What have you been playing?
Okay, I'm trying to get caught up here. Okay, we got a review code. I forget the developer. Thanks to Snowcastle Games of the Earthlock, which is kind of a homage to JRPGs. Yeah, kind of still has like a modern graphic style So it's, you know, 3D environments. I did a little digging on this before I started playing it, and I found out that it was actually a Wii U version, which had a subtitle. So Earthlock Festival of Magic, that came out in September. And then this version on the Switch, which is just called Earthlock, no subtitle, was released in the early March. So which is kind of like a remaster. You know, it cleaned up some problems with the original game. It added some side missions and it's supposed to make it a more full-fledged experience. So I did a recording of about the first hour. Yeah, which I haven't pushed that out to YouTube yet. I still have to edit a small voiceover track. But when I do that, so I hope to get that out this weekend. And then I played maybe another half hour on top of that so far. So I'm still in the early game. And like most JRPGs, it's got it's story heavy, so it's a slow start to get into any action. I don't think I got to the point where I could start running around freely on the map until like 45 minutes in. Which I would say is about average. You know, I've definitely seen worse. Like Persona 4, like you can't do any of the good stuff until like 2 hours in, mm-hmm. almost 3 hours. So you start off with, you know, party of two, and it actually reminds me of Octopath Traveler. You were in that. There's like multiple things going on at the same time. You're one group of people first, then you another group of people, and then eventually later on, I imagine you'll find each other and you'll be a larger party. Looks like the character wheel looks like there'd be probably 8 slots. I didn't count them all, but right now I've only got 3 in it. So as you run around in the open world, you know, you're able to choose which character is active, and it's because certain characters have certain abilities. Like one of them is good with flowers, so if you pick a flower and you get an effect from it. And another one is a scavenger, so you see a scrap pile, he goes through it to collect items from it. So you're switching characters around a lot out there. And then in battle is your traditional turn-based stuff, where they do have stances which change what they can do and how they do it. I haven't dug into that much. I've just kind of stuck with their default stances. So I do like one of them is the magic caster initially. He doesn't really cast heals that are like directly heal, but they're more like regens. But you know, so this early on in the game, it acts like a heal. I'm going through it. I'm hoping the story clicks me more before I start getting burned out on it. But so, you know, in under 2 hours so far, it hasn't turned me away yet. So that's probably the best I can give it at this point. And
sure,
which is, you know, unless it's a big known series like Persona or Final Fantasy, you know, that's kind of the normal. You've got to give it time to catch you. Otherwise, it's never going to catch you.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, you know, by the time it gets to 3 or 4 hours, it either has or you lost or they lost you.
Okay. Very cool. I like it. Awesome. So definitely keep an eye out for more coverage for Earthlock from Jesse. And, you know, Jesse, when I saw this come through in our review box, I thought, yeah, this is perfect for you. So awesome. Let's keep that going and make sure we check that out. Marty, what about yours?
Go ahead. Before we run, for prices. The Wii, if you want to go back and try the Wii U version that is the lesser version, it's $10. The Switch version I think was $29.90. Not sure why the odd price, but so it's definitely thinking itself as a better version. Since it's charging almost 3 times as much.
Sure.
Yeah, but and another thing that I'm confused about is what in the save window, it gives me a percent, but there's no context to it. So I'm like, is that telling me how far into the game I am, or is it has another meaning? I don't know yet. Because in less than 2 hours playing, it's up to 17. So I'm like, okay, it's going up faster than I thought. So if that's not my progress in the game, I don't know what it means yet. And it'll be interesting to find out what it does mean.
Fair enough. Right on. Marty, what have you been playing, sir?
Well, I've been playing the aforementioned Death Road to Canada that we can't talk about. So I picked up this week's Saturday Morning RPG, which is basically a love letter to the 80s with Paper Mario style combat, the real like Paper Mario, you know, more like Mario and Luigi, I guess. Timing based attacks, timing based defense. And I would say almost Earthbound style overworld exploration, and have been pleasantly surprised so far. I know this game has been out on like iOS and other places before. I think Jesse mentioned PS3, but like I said, it's a love letter to the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was originally out in like 2012.
So the first boss that you fight is Commander Hood, who is basically a green version of Cobra Commander, along with his troops.
Generic villain 001.
Yeah, you also fight Madeline, who and Skellibor, who are takeoffs on He-Man. Your protagonist gets, who by the way is named Marty, which is a fantastic name. Can use attacks like transforming into a semi truck and running over his opponents, who fly off the screen, complete with the Wilhelm scream, or using the Care Bear stare attack, throwing CDs, moonwalking across the screen and punching your opponent and paralyzing them, and all kinds of other 80s and early 90s inspired stuff. The music is done by Stan Bush and Vince DiCola, who did the movie soundtrack score for Transformers the movie back in the day. Not the actual songs, but the music that plays throughout the rest of the movie. And you can tell, like, when it starts playing, you're like, oh yeah, this sounds like Transformers the movie. But the combat has this really interesting mechanic of your basic attack is to punch your opponents, right? Then you have magic attacks, and the way that you get magic is by punching. That's how you kind of refill your magic meter. Or you have a battery icon in your list of things that you can do, and you can actually choose one of three ways to like charge your batteries. And when you do that, it gives you a damage multiplier, but it takes away from your magic meter. So like you can get up to like, you know, like I think the highest I've gotten is like a 4.5x modifier. And that makes your attacks really potent. You know, the story is great. The writing is very tongue in cheek. It's episodic. So like I finished the first episode before I came to record tonight, which is basically your character is having a dream in which Commander Hood has kidnapped his girlfriend and he has to go on a trip to rescue her. And you can go back and replay those and find secrets and all kinds of stuff. Like your menu screen is a Trapper Keeper. And before each battle, your Trapper Keeper has scented scratch and sniff stickers on it. And so there's a mechanic of you scratching the stickers to get the bonus. So like it'll randomly focus on one of the stickers and you'll move the left stick around to scratch it. And when you scratch it off, it'll move on to the next one. You try to scratch all five before the battle begins. And it gives you different bonuses like, you know, boost your defense or enemies miss more or different things like that. So far, such a fantastic experience. It's $10 on the eShop. And I know that it's been pretty well received on the internet. Among people that, you know, that's come out with before. So go check it out. Saturday Morning RPG. It's by Limited Run Games and developed by Mighty Rabbit Studios.
Very cool. Very, very cool. All right. Excellent. I have been playing a game called Lightfall, and this just hit the Nintendo Switch eShop today, and this is actually from Bishop Games. And now this was actually featured in the most recent Nindies showcase. And this is a game, again, on the Nintendo Switch eShop right now for $14.99. And it is a... If you like Super Meat Boy, you like Celeste, you like those kind of platformer, I don't know what you, I don't want to say like precision based action games. I guess I would platformer action games. This is really quite up your alley. And what you do is you play as a character, and then you have the ability to control what are known as shadow cores. And there's shadow cores are essentially like these boxes that can appear wherever you are. So to be able to maybe make a jump between a wall, you need to jump, and then you call this box, and the box appears, and then you jump off that box, and you have to, like, you know, call another box. So it's very precision based, and it's very cool. Again, if you're a person who likes Super Meat Boy, you like Celeste, it has a great has that kind of precision, that difficulty, but at the same time, you know, if you die, it's very quick back into the game. There's unlimited lives, which is fantastic. This beautiful kind of world that you explore, and it's in a black and white art style. There's definitely some color palettes to it, but it's all darker tones. And essentially, there's also the other thing I really like about this game is there is this great this narrator, and his name is Strix, I believe, Strikes, and he's this old, really grumpy kind of owl. And so it's a game that you definitely want to be playing with the sound on or your headset on, because he does this great narration and commentary and telling the story of the land that you're at and these gods that you're kind of running into and these scenes that you're seeing. And not only does he provide like useful advice on how to solve problems, but he also like kind of makes fun of you when you fail, which is pretty fantastic. Definitely a lot of fun. They definitely realize that this is a game that would, much like, again, Super Meat Boy or Celeste, have a speed running element to it as well. And so they actually have a speed run game mode in it and an online leaderboard where you can actually compete with people around the world to see how fast you go. So this is a great game. I've really enjoyed it. I've actually got some footage that I've recorded. We're going to be putting up on our YouTube channel very soon. But for $14.99, I would highly recommend going out and checking out Lightfall. And again, this is if you like games like Celeste and Super Meat Boy, and you don't feel kind of like burnt out from those kind of games, this is right in your genre for what you'd want to be looking at. A ton of fun, great studio from Canada. Again, they're called Bishop Games, and it is one player. There's no additional functionality. You know, there's no two player mode. It is just one player. But I would definitely highly recommend checking this game out. It's a ton of fun, actually. So again, that is Lightfall out on the Nintendo Switch right now. And big thanks to Bishop Games for actually providing us a review copy for that as well.
Cool.
Very cool. Yeah, that is what we have been playing. And let's check our mailbag. Do we have anything in the mailbag?
It signed me out for Google Drive.
I will check right now. I don't think we do, actually.
Thanks, Google. I don't think we do this week.
Wow. Okay. Well, then this is a little bit of a shorter show for people, but thank you so much for tuning in. Marty, what do we need to be telling the fantastic people to be doing?
Well, the first thing they need to do is they need to be playing the greatest Castlevania game of all time, Super Castlevania IV, either on the Wii U, the 3DS, or their SNES Classic, or by some other illegal means that we hereby do not endorse on the show or encourage. but it's out there, so hey, knock yourself out if you want to. Just don't blame us if you get caught. Super Castlevania IV by Konami, back when they remembered how to make video games and not pachinko machines. So yeah, they need to be playing that for Retro Rewind. We'll be recording that very soon. Also want to thank our great fans over at patreon.com, and everybody who's, man, so much engagement this week via Twitter and Facebook about Labo and about all kinds of other things. We love your comments. We love it when you engage on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. Instagram, you know, it has even been picking up lately. And so, guys, thanks for loving on us. We hope that you enjoy the show. We hope you enjoy everything we put out. So keep your eyes open for new videos. Like Justin talked about, you know, we got new stuff going up on YouTube. Zach's got some really cool Labo stuff coming out. I know Justin, even though other Labo stuff is up, we want to see video of you and your kids enjoying it as well. And so just keep watching and keep being awesome.
Yeah. And actually, sorry, while we're on that story, one thing I want to call out actually, because Zach's not here. We actually also received a copy of South Park, The Fractured Butthole. And we are talking about that here, obviously. But Zach actually did a playthrough in his kind of impressions of the games, about 25 minutes on our YouTube channel as well. So if that's a game that you're interested in, I will forewarn you that this is not a child-friendly content. So probably something not suitable for work. But I don't want to judge your where you work or your partner or what you do in your house.
Yeah, we just lost him.
He is so non-judgmental that he like got off the show. I love it. Yeah, so that's over on YouTube. And honestly, guys, the reason the reason that we did a video for that and just posted it to YouTube and didn't really talk about it here on the show is because we do know that some of you listen with your kids. Hey, kids, if you're out there, thanks for listening with your dads or moms. We know you listen with your kids. And so we just want to keep them away from some of that, as well as you probably want to do the same. But you can go over and check out Zach's impressions. I think he's been having fun with it so far. And that game got a pretty significant patch this week as well, right after it launched. So they're definitely, Ubisoft is definitely paying attention to it and taking, the Switch seriously. So go check that out over at YouTube. Hey, welcome back, Justin.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We took care of that. So, Justin, why don't you tell us where people can find us?
Absolutely. So what you can do if you are interested in following us, you can follow us on Twitter, and that's at Nintendo Dads. You can like us on Facebook, that's Nintendo Dads. Follow us on Instagram, Nintendo Dads. You can email us directly for questions that we will answer on the call or on the show. That's NintendoDads@gmail.com. You can watch us on Twitch TV, and that is Nintendo Dads. And, of course, going over to our YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/C/Nintendo Dads. While you are there, click the like, click the subscribe. We have got videos going up almost daily. Actually, as a matter of fact, Marty, do you know how many videos we have up on our YouTube channel? Any guess? Take a shot.
1,000.
Okay, that's way too high. 600. 600 videos available on our YouTube channel for content that you have access to. So, guys, go on there, click that subscribe, click that like button, get notifications for when we send out stuff. We've got lots of great stuff coming up, obviously, with E3 coming, and that'd be fantastic. You can, of course, call in and actually leave us a voicemail as well as a 929-25-NDADS or 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some of our sweet Nintendo Dads merch, that's right, we actually have Nintendo Dads merch. We have hoodies, we have t-shirts, we have coffee mugs, then head over to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store, all lowercase. Big thanks to OC Remix and the music that you're going to be hearing throughout the show that Mr. Jesse's going to be putting in our post. And of course, if you want to, you can download our podcast every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and check us out on vgtribune.com. And of course, if you want to change the world, why don't you go give some 5-star likes, give some 5-star ratings, give us some reviews. We greatly appreciate that. For myself, for Jesse, for Marty, and for an absent Zach Erickson, thank you very much for tuning in to Nintendo Dads. Be awesome. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Nintendo Dads.
Please understand,